We admit the existence of this great army, but we're not afraid of them, because remember, there's also an army of angels in the heavenly realms, right? Yeah. There's millions of angels that serve God. They live in the spiritual realms. They're real too. They fight against these evil forces in the heavenly realms. So we're not alone. There is an evil army, but there's a good army out there that fights against them. We are not to be afraid of them. Like the word that came to Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours, but God's. Battle's not yours, but God's. So we are called to fight in this battle. Now, you might not feel like a warrior, but you are. You might look at this picture and say, well, that's not me, a warrior charging into battle. But everybody that's a believer in Jesus Christ is in the army of the Lord. You're a warrior, whether you feel like it or not. You know, in Israel, when we celebrated our graduates this morning up here, in Israel, when a child graduates from high school, if they're a Jewish citizen of Israel, the next thing they get to do is go serve in the military. There's no choice. It's mandatory in Israel. They go. Boys for 2 years, women for 3 years. I mean, all the way around. Women, 2 years. Boys, 3 years. They go serve in the military. It's not optional. They have to do it. It's the law. As a follower of Jesus Christ, it's not optional whether you're in this army or this battle. You're in it. You might not be aware you're in it. You might be clueless, but you're in it. You're in this battle. We are called to fight this battle, and we fight by taking our stand against the devil. Three times, Paul says, take your stand. That's a military word that means stand your ground even though you're being attacked. Hold your position. Don't give up. One of the stories I enjoy is taken from the Civil War. It was during the Battle of Gettysburg. The Union forces were fighting against the Confederate forces. There was the 20th Maine Regiment was led by a man by the name of Colonel Chamberlain. He was given the assignment of defending the end of the Union line at a place called Little Round Top. They were to make sure the Confederate Army didn't outflank the Union Army. In the movie The Gettysburg, if you've seen it, he is seen telling his men this speech. Men, we are the end of the line. We cannot retreat. We cannot withdraw. And in that battle, they took huge casualties, but they won that battle and stopped the Confederates from going around to flank the Union Army. And it was a turning point in that Battle of Gettysburg because they stood their ground. That's what Paul's talking about. We're under attack. You have to stand your ground. No retreat. No giving up. We stand our ground. It's interesting, you know, when we talk about spiritual warfare, it's really pretty simple. The Bible says in James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee. Pretty simple, isn't it? Resist, he flees. Not maybe, not might, he will. Resist him and he flees. We take our stand against the devil. We stand in the strength of the Lord. Paul says, be strong in the Lord. We cannot win this battle in our own power. None of us here are a match for the devil. We're not. He is way more powerful than any of us. We need to respect his power, be aware that he's very powerful, but he is no match for God. So we stand in the strength of the Lord, not our own strength, the strength of the Lord. Like David going out and fighting Goliath. He knew he was no match for Goliath. He was just a little guy compared to Goliath, but he went out in the strength of the Lord and won that battle. When Moses was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, he knew that they were no match for the army of Egypt, but God did an amazing thing and rescued them. And on the other side of the sea, they sang a song. A part of that song, they sang, the Lord is my strength. They stood in the strength of the Lord. We fight with God's mighty power. Whenever an army goes out these days to fight, they make sure they have the weapons they need and the ammunition they need. They want to make sure they have the firepower they need to be successful in this battle. We go out and fight in the power of God. We can know that we have all the firepower we need. There's no question. We fight with the mighty power of God. That's why Paul can write things like this in Ephesians 3. when it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." We have his mighty power available to us in this battle. So we fight with God's mighty power. We fight by putting the armor of God on. To take our stand, we put on the full armor of God. God, Paul says, put on the full armor of God. Paul was used to seeing Roman soldiers in their armor. He knew what they wore. Oftentimes he was chained to one. I mean, he had real close-up knowledge of what they wore. And he used this as an illustration for us. There's a picture here, it looks like it's from a book, of a girl that's in armor. And I want to make sure, lady, that you want to make sure we're not just talking to men here today. Ladies, you're warriors too. Kids, you're warriors. Teens, you're warriors. We all have to put the armor on. We're equipped by God to be victorious in this battle. He's given us the parts of the armor that we need to win and to enjoy the life that God has blessed us with here on this earth. Let's go through the parts of the armor here. First, we're armed with the truth of God. We put the belt of truth around us, it says. A Roman soldier, the belt was really important because that held everything together. I mean, the sword would stick in the belt. He would wear a tunic, and when he went into battle, he'd stuff the tunic in there so he could move around without being impeded at all. And so Paul says we need to put the belt of truth around us. Truth is a powerful weapon because the greatest weapon that our enemy has is a lie. That's his greatest weapon, is the lie, the deception. Remember Genesis 3, the first temptation? It was about a lie. Did God really say that? You'll become like God if you do what he tells you not to do. The truth of God is powerful in spiritual temptation. The truth comes from God. He is the source of our truth. It is based upon who he is. When Jesus came to earth, he came full of grace and truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." 80 times in the scripture, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth." We are armed with the truth of God. A believer who lives in the truth of God will win in spiritual battles because the truth wins. We are also secure in our righteousness in Christ. The breastplate of righteousness, Roman soldiers wore that too. A lot of times it was made out of brass or leather covered with metal strips, and it protected their heart and their stomach area, you know. They could be safe when they went out in battle. One of the ways that the devil attacks us is through our mind and our emotions. And the ancient Hebrews thought that the mind, the heart, was the center of the mind, and the stomach was like the center of the emotions. And the devil attacks us to cloud our minds with lies, to get us to have feelings that we shouldn't have. But in Christ, we are righteous. We can have a right relationship with Christ. You see, the scripture says, God made him, that is Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Satan is an accuser, and he will accuse us, but we are righteous in Christ. Satan will remind us of sins long forgiven, but we are righteous in Christ. Satan will tell us if you slip and you sin that you could never come back. You could never be forgiven for that, but we can be forgiven by Jesus Christ and be righteous in Christ. We have this breastplate of righteousness. We are also established in the gospel of peace. He says, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Soldiers would never think of going out without their sandals they wore, a heavy piece of leather with straps around their ankle to hang it on, and usually it was studded on the bottom with metal to give them traction. They would go out and fight because now they were grounded, they were established, and they could go do it. We're ready for spiritual conflict when we're firmly grounded in the gospel of peace. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We live in peace with each other, which is one of the main ways the devil attacks us in the church, is trying to get us to not live in peace with each other. We live in this gospel of peace. We share the gospel of peace, and which is something the devil does not want us to do. Established in the gospel of peace. Next, we are shielded by our faith in God, the shield of faith, the shield of faith. Take up your shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I like this picture It's kind of hard to see because it's dark, but it's of a warrior heading to battle with his shield, and there's fiery arrows coming at them, but the shield protects them. Now, the shield that Paul is talking about was not quite like Romans had two shields. They had the round ones, which they did use. They also had a big one that was more like a door, 4 feet high, 30 inches wide, and they would use that often when they went into battle to shield themselves. They would actually bunch together in a phalanx combination where it'd be like a moving human tank with the shields over them and the shields in front of them. They would move and attack, very effective in their warfare. That's the kind of shield that Paul is talking about here. And we see that God is our shield in spiritual battles. God is our shield in spiritual battles. So we need to keep the shield up. I was preparing this message, and I had a few arrows getting shot at me this week, just to let you know. Because I think the arrows are temptations. I think that's what the arrows are, temptations. And the devil was shooting at me. And one night, Joni had gone to bed earlier than me, and I was up walking around the house, and my dog was following me around. Our dog was following me around. And he probably thought I was crazy, because I every once in a while I'd stop and say, "Get the shield up." And I was talking to myself, because an arrow was coming in. "Get the shield up. Get the shield up, you know. Get the shield up, you know. Trust God, because there's an arrow coming in." It tells us if we'll trust God, when those arrows come in, they will be extinguished. But if you don't trust God in that moment and you let it land, then you begin thinking about it. You add fuel to the fire. It begins to burn, causes a lot of damage. Keep the shield up, the shield of faith. We're also confident in our salvation. A Roman soldier wore a helmet to protect his head. And we have the helmet of salvation. The devil, we know in the scripture, tells us holds the power of death caused by sin, but he was defeated by Jesus Christ, and we are freed from that power. With the helmet of salvation, we are saved from the penalty of sin. From the helmet of salvation, we are saved from the power of sin. From the helmet of salvation, we are saved from the power of the devil. From the helmet of salvation, we are saved from the power of death. With the helmet of salvation, we are saved from eternity in hell. We are saved by Jesus Christ. Confident in our salvation. And we're equipped with the powerful word of God. The powerful word of God. It says to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword is your only offensive weapon listed in the armor of God. And here's a picture of a soldier heading out. He's got the sword there ready to go. And I know, I'm afraid some of you and maybe some ladies are already thinking, Pastor, I'm not getting this whole warrior thing, you know, all these pictures of gladiators and warriors. I'm not into that. You know, what's with the sword? Maybe this will help you. This is a sword, okay? If we make it really easy, this is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Forget about the real sword. This is the sword. This is the powerful sword right here. The word of God, it says in the scripture, is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God is a powerful weapon in spiritual warfare because it is the truth of God. Think about it. What did Jesus do when he was tempted? When the arrows were coming flying at him, he quoted the word of God, didn't he? He quoted the word of God. So how do we put our armor on? That's a good question. I was thinking about this. What does all this mean, this armor stuff? And I begin to think, the belt of truth. Jesus said in John 14:26, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So I realized Jesus is the belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness, Jeremiah 23:6, talking about the coming Messiah, said the name by which he will be called will be the Lord, our righteousness. Jesus is the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet would be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he," that's Jesus himself, "is our peace." Jesus is the gospel of peace. The shield of faith, Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Jesus is the shield of faith. The helmet of salvation, Acts 4:13. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to me by which we must be saved. Jesus is the helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus is the Word of God. So let me make it really simple this morning. To put on the armor of God, you put on Jesus. He is the armor of God. When you live in a trusting, obedient relationship with Jesus Christ, you have the armor of God on. You have the armor of God on. That's why John writes in his letter later, he says, greater is he that is in you than is he that is in the world, because you got the armor on. That's why Paul can write things like, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. He's got the armor on. That's why Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me will produce much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. He's got the armor on that in that image. It's abiding in Christ, living in a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how you put your armor on. So as we go out and live our lives, just remember, there's victory in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't want anybody to go away from here today fearful at all about the demonic forces that are out there. They are defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. We have all the power we need in the name of Jesus to face anything, to take our stand, and I believe not only take our stand, but to move forward in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise his name. We're going to close our service with a time of prayer together and sing a song together, a song of worship. If you need to pray, the altars are always open. If you need something you need to pray about, could be that there's something going on in your life that is a big struggle, and you just need to come and maybe take your stand in prayer today to pray. Trust the Lord with what's